Thank you once again, everyone, for listening to another episode of Podzilla 1985. My name is Shannon Young, and I will be your host tonight. And tonight we have kind of a serious show. With me are Jesse Kimball from the Pen and Nerd Podcast.
Hey, everybody.
And on the condition of anonymity for tonight's show, with the discussion that we're having, we will call him Mr. Blue. Mr. Blue, thank you for being here.
Yeah, good evening.
Now, I actually wrote this down because I wanted to make sure I got this right, because this is how serious it is. Here is my intro. You can't turn on the news anymore without hearing about another police-related killing. Now, is the digital age exposing one of America's darkest secrets, or does the media continue to have a hand in provoking America against itself by exploiting isolated incidents? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Kind of a serious topic, a little bit different from our usual hooting and a hollering, but I think it'll go well. Now, Mr. Blue, I want to point this out to you, and I just want to be blunt. Let's just be blunt about it.
Yeah.
In your opinion, because I know you can't be everywhere and you can't police everything, is there an epidemic of police brutality in America today?
There is not.
Would you say there is a problem?
It will always be a problem because there will always be bad cops. And it will always be in my best interest and in the interest of every other good cop out there to find them, prosecute them, and get rid of them.
Do you think that police should be held to a higher standard than the rest of the populace when it comes to this stuff? Because the reason I bring this up is any study you read, I don't care who puts it out, you will see that the killing of, let's just say, black people, because right now with this epidemic, it's black people are afraid of police. Hands up, don't shoot, Black Lives Matter, all that propaganda. And yeah. I call it propaganda for a reason. But any study you read will tell you that the ratio of police killings versus African Americans killing other African Americans is horribly skewed. The ratio is off, as yes. We like to say.
Yeah.
What do you say about that? I mean, in your opinion, should the police be held under tighter scrutiny than everyone else? Do you think people have given up on trying to stop each other from killing each other, and now they're more worried about cops? Or what do you think?
Well, I think both issues are extremely important. As much as people should stop killing each other, and we as a society should continue our efforts to halt violence of any kind, that police should, and in fact are, held to a higher moral standard, a higher moral ethical standard, because with great power comes great responsibility. And anyone with any sort of power, law enforcement or not, has a moral imperative to use what power, what ability, what authority, what skill they have to the betterment of humanity. If you have the ability to do something good for other people and you fail to do so, you are failing as a human. You are failing the basic human mandate.
So
to use your ability to better the lives of your fellow man.
So these police officers that have done these things, you wouldn't even group them as police officers. You would just group them as other human beings that are doing terrible things to other human beings.
Police officers are human beings, yes. And these police officers that do things which are illegal, immoral, unethical, I would like very much to consider them not a member of the Brotherhood, of which I am very, very lucky to be in.
And proud of.
And proud of.
Proud of.
I live for it. It's part of my identity.
Now, Jesse, as us two, neither of us are police officers and have nothing to do with police officers. My father actually was chief of police where I was from originally, but I want to get your take on this. As an outsider looking in, someone that doesn't have the training and experience that Mr. Blue does, what is your take on the rash of, you know, exposure that police officers are facing when it comes to this kind of stuff? Because you see it on the news just as much as I do.
Right, right. And to me, I think that's really the point of it. It is exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally feel that the problem is worse. I don't think that there is a current epidemic. I think that there has been a constant epidemic.
Right.
But with the internet access to, you know, phone, like smartphones,
Yeah.
Like, everybody's you and I got each, a new camera. Every person at this table
right.
has an HD camera in their pocket at all times.
Right.
So, I mean, if you see something like that, you can record it, and once it hits the internet, it does not go away.
No, no, and it's all over the internet. Not just right. the news, it's on the internet, it's on the forums, everyone's going nuts about it. So what you're saying, and I kind of wrote this question down here, but I think you phrased it better than I wrote it down. You're saying that what we see does not reflect what's actually happening, because it's been happening far longer than we've had the ability yeah. to show it.
Well, like, what we're seeing is reflecting what's happening. It's just that what's happening isn't new.
Yeah, but let me clarify. What I meant by that was, what we are seeing when you turn the news on, they make it seem like it's the thing that's happening. Like, it's the only thing that's happening. And they've done the same thing with killer bees, all of the news stories, that if it can scare people and get them glued in front of their television to watch it, they do it.
Well, yeah, because news has very little integrity left.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really definitely. All about, like, what gets viewers, right. what gets their ratings up.
Right.
They could care less what they're actually reporting on.
Right.
It doesn't matter to them, you know, what their own personal feelings are or anything else. Like, what matters to them is what will get them the largest paycheck.
Agreed. Yeah, the media has sold out to, because it's a business.
Right.
It's not about the news anymore. It's a business. And, you know, I jokingly say I used to be a journalist and I quit because I didn't agree with the big media. And I stand by that. I'm not saying that to make myself sound cool. I legitimately hate what the media has turned into. The last straw for me was when I was editor of the college paper, and they wanted me to cover a funeral for someone who had been murdered, and they wanted me to get up to the casket and take pictures of the body, take pictures of the family. They wanted me to exploit this family who's going through this terrible thing, and I wouldn't do it. You know, it's awful. Now, Mr. Blue, when it comes to the digital age and all of the stuff you're seeing on TV, what do you think about the media when it comes to this stuff? Do you put part of the blame on the media for making this, I don't want to say bigger than it is, because it's definitely a problem. Any violence is a problem against anybody. Yeah. But do you think the media is exploiting police officers just to pop that rating?
Yes. I put most, if not all, of the blame on this current bad will toward police officers as a whole on the media. It started with one or two high-profile cases, so now they're on the hunt for yeah. more cases like that to put out there.
Yeah, they're reaching.
Yes.
They're reaching to get
they're
more stuff to write
they're
about.
They're finding anything that they can put on the news.
Right.
Even justified police-related shootings.
And I feel like it's only when the police shoot a black person. And I don't want to get racist. I don't want to make it sound like it's not a problem.
Yeah, it's but that's what they look for.
Yeah.
They look for a white officer killing a black person, justified or no.
Right.
And yes, there have been unjustified killings of people of all races.
Right.
By police officers. That happens. There are bad police officers out there. And it's my job and the job of every other police officer to find them and to get rid of them. I believe the latest statistic, it was a few years ago, but it's the most recent statistic they have, is 0.9%. 0.9% of police officers in this country have been found to have been guilty of some sort of immoral, unethical act.
Right.
And that's unjustified homicide, that's sexual assault, that's police brutality, that's falsification of evidence, that's everything. 0.9%. And if you look at the statistics of the news media within the past 6 months to a year, say, any report on the acts of one individual officer, my guess is somewhere between 90 and 100%.
In the negative.
Are about something horrible that yeah. a police officer has done. And in the minds and in the eyes of the average viewer, that creates this skewed perception of what law enforcement is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If all they hear about is an officer shot somebody or an officer beat somebody within an inch of their lives, that's what all police do.
Right.
And therefore, all police are just these bullying, murderous thugs.
And speaking of some of those incidents, I want to get your take on a couple of those.
Okay.
All right. Now, a couple of these...
Now, first off, any incident that you manage, I will not make a 100% judgment of. because I don't know the mindset of the officer. I don't know
what right.
actually happened. All I have is reports, but I will give my best estimate.
And I do want to point out, too, that it is not the position of Podzilla 1985 or myself, Shannon Young, or anybody on the show to condemn all police officers or any you know group as a whole for the actions of some. Because you're absolutely right when you say that there are bad seeds no matter where you go and no matter what department you look into. Whether it be police, private citizens, you know, there's always going to be somebody that abuses their privileges and their power.
Yeah. Yep.
I will say real quick, going back sure. to the thing about the media, there is, I think, a line that the media does cross when if we go to justified versus unjustified killings.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, you know, as I said earlier, it has been a problem for as long as there's been a police force.
Yeah.
There's been corruption.
Oh, yeah. Corruption has run through police.
Right.
I mean, ever since, you know.
So.
The Untouchables.
Ever since the word existed.
Yeah.
Right. So the point that I'm getting to, while the media certainly does spin things negatively at times to get ratings, I do think that they have a responsibility to shine a light, if they can, on corruption.
Yeah, I mean,
like, if it's Mr. Blue was saying, what Mr. Blue was saying before about the justified versus unjustified killings,
right?
They find even justified killings, they put the negative spin on it. They make it look like it was a bad thing, like done wrong, like they had done wrong against their fellow man,
right?
And I lost my train of thought because I said a name. I'm trying to get back onto it.
Well, while you think of that, let me just jump in here for a second and point something out. They do put a negative spin on what the police officers do, but I feel like they only do that in cases where it is blatant that the officers were in the wrong. If you want to think back to Trayvon Martin, now not a cop killing, but in a case like that where you had he said and versus no one said because Trayvon Martin was dead, they painted Trayvon Martin in a negative light. The marijuana abuse, the defiant teen. They kind of made a villain out of the victim. And they do this in a lot of cases. I've got a list of people here. Walter Scott, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's the one that was stopped, got in a scuffle with the cop, ran away. They have video of him being shot in the back, by a police officer. He's unarmed. Mm-hmm. He's unarmed and he's running and he gets shot in the back. Well, even in a case like that, one of the first things that I read was how Walter Scott was, you know, owed money on child support. He was in trouble with the law and all this stuff. And I don't understand.
So basically they're trying to make it out like, well, he it wasn't such it a big deal because he kind of had it coming. Yeah. He was kind of a dirtbag.
Which is ridiculous.
So he had, you know, the end of his life coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as much as I think people will condemn police, there are also those who will defend their actions, even when it's blatantly in the wrong.
Right.
You know? Now, Mr. Blue, actually, what do you think about the Walter Scott incident? Now, this is, if ever there was a case of blatant misconduct, he's the one that, you know, shot the man in the back when he's running. I mean, on tape, shot him in the back, grabbed the taser, dropped the taser. This is the most, like I said, blatant act of misconduct and disregard for human life that I've seen when it comes to police brutality.
What is the name of the officer?
Oh, God, you know, I don't have that written down. I forget the name of that one. Jesse, you want to look that up for us real quick?
Yeah. But real quick, I did – the point I was trying to make was that I believe that the media does need to find these cases and report on them. What I don't think they should do is paint it out as though the police force is against us.
Right.
That it's us versus them.
Right. Well, that's what they do, though. That's what right. they do.
I and definitely understand that. And I mean, some are better than others.
Yeah.
Like if you get, you know, the same report, like the Mike Brown shooting,
yeah,
as an example.
I talked about that to length on Blogzilla 1985 to the point that I had people telling me, you know, who cares? I actually had someone say, who cares? And I thought,
That's fucked up.
Who cares about a person dying?
You know,
say what you will about him. He's dead.
Right. Yeah. Like it.
That's a human being.
It's a human being.
Which they also in the media. Villainized, said
right.
he just robbed this place, he is a troubled teen, you know, all that stuff that they like to throw out there to, I don't know, justify the police killing, or at least, I don't know, whatever it takes to incite people against each other is, I feel, what they do, you know?
And yeah, you see both sides of that, because you also saw the several reportings showed Mike Brown is a good kid. He was on his way to college.
Yeah.
You know, he had his whole life ahead of him, and he was, you know, a good guy. Then you have the other side of, like, you know, the other extreme.
He's a thug. He robbed a store. He has,
like, look at these pictures we found on his Facebook. You know, he was way bigger than the police officer. And that is one thing I did see. I did see maybe one or two, like, really good reportings on the case.
Yeah.
And I even posted a long time ago, not to Blogzilla or anything, just to my own personal Facebook, a really good, unbiased demonstration of what likely happened with the evidence that was known.
I think I remember that, because I think you and I discussed that at one point.
And it was probably the most unbiased and probably the most truthful piece of information to come out of that whole incident. And, you know, one of the things was, like, sort of backing up one of the claims, Mike Brown was significantly larger than Darren Wilson by nearly a foot and 150 pounds, if I remember correctly.
He was a big guy.
Yeah,
that's
a
not
huge guy.
Leading credence to the fact that the word unarmed does not mean
no
non-lethal threat.
Because if I saw a man coming at me, like charging me, that, you know, was nearly a foot taller, 150 pounds on me, I would fear for my life.
Yes.
Like, that's...
Well, you know, I had this written down further, but I feel you brought it up. Let's bring it up now. Let's skip a couple parts here. And Mr. Blue, especially to you here, when it comes to the situation like Mike Brown, where my first thought when I heard what happened is, why was there no alternative to deadly fire? Why was there no taser? Why was there no mace? Why was there no alternative? Why did he have to shoot him? He didn't try. You know, if he had a taser, he could have dropped him, possibly.
The report of the incident, to my knowledge, was there had been the robbery earlier in the night.
Yeah.
The suspect of the robbery matched Brown's description. The officer involved stopped in the street because they were walking in the middle of the road.
And told him to get out of the road.
Originally just told him to get out of the road, walk on the sidewalk or whatever.
Right.
At which point, Brown leapt into his car and attacked him and began beating him. At which point, the officer fired two rounds that went into the door of his patrol car before the weapon jammed. At the point where the weapon jammed, Brown fled toward the rear of the vehicle, stopped once the officer had gotten out and fixed his weapon malfunction. He had his gun leveled at him, and Brown was advancing toward him with his hands up, slowly. When he got to a length of about 15 feet, he began charging the officer, at which point the officer shot, and Brown was killed. Now, if that's the way things happened, which the grand jury hearing confirmed...
Yeah, all we can go by is what they have decided.
Which, according to the court case that followed, which ended in the officer not being indicted by a jury of his peers.
Right.
That's what happened. And in my judgment, that is a shoot scenario. So that is a scenario where you fire your weapon. You've already fired your weapon twice at the man, and he advanced on you with his hands up and then charged you again. He had no time to use a taser. 15 feet is not a long distance when you're dealing with a person who is trying to kill you.
And I can't put myself in the mindset of the police officer on the scene. I've never been in a situation like that. But did he have a taser?
I don't know.
Because all reports I read that he had no taser. He had no alternative to it. Don't you think an alternative would have been nice in a situation like that, though?
At the point, in that given situation, where the officer had his weapon leveled at Brown, and all he had was 15 feet separating him, there was no time to use a taser if he had one. He would have had to holster his weapon, get his taser back out, turn it on, level it at him, and fire. That is much more time than it takes a man to clear 15 feet.
And you know
who has already proven an intent to kill you.
That actually brings me to another person I want to put on the list here. I want to name. Eric Harris. Now, he's the gentleman that they chased down, had him on the ground, were arresting him, and a reserve officer by the name of Robert Bates, I think was his name, he went to pull his taser and he said, "I'm going to tase him." And this is a reserve officer. Now I want you to explain something to me here in a second. Yeah. But he thought he was going for his taser, and whether it was the heat of the moment, wasn't paying attention, he ended up shooting the gentleman in the back once. And immediately said, I shot him, I'm sorry. Another officer says, he shot him, oh my God, he shot him. The suspect on the ground starts screaming, he shot me, help me, he shot me. The cops are yelling at him, you know, you ran, fuck you, fuck your breath. He said, I can't breathe. They said, fuck your breath. They ignored his pleas for help. Now, I want you to explain two things to me real quick. One, what is a reserve police officer, for those that don't know?
A reserve police officer is a reserve police officer. They are not paid by the department, but they are certified and equipped, and they work for the department in times of shorthandedness or in emergencies to where they need extra officers on the scene.
So he was trained?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Now,
most states, if not all, require that reserve police officers have to go through some form of training. I believe so. My department does not do reserves or auxiliary, so I don't know.
He was also 73. Do you think that a 73-year-old reserve officer should have been on the scene helping with that?
It depends on the health of the 73-year-old. If he was healthy and spry and as able as a young officer, I see no reason for him not to be. But if he's like most 73-year-olds, then no, he should not have been.
Because I do know my grandfather is approaching that age, and I'm fairly certain he's in better shape than anyone at this table.
No doubt, I've seen us.
Like if he is of average physical fitness for a 73-year-old, no, he should not be on the scene of any action.
Should he have a pistol?
If he's certified and trained in its use, and if he's a reserve officer if he's a commissioned reserve officer within a department, then he should have a pistol. But he should be nowhere where that level of action is going on. He should have the pistol for, you know, emergency on-the-spot use only.
Right, because it looked like these cops already had the situation in hand. They were cuffing the gentleman. He was providing resistance, so that he was trying to help. Now, in this particular case, they have charged him with manslaughter, I believe. Do you think that's fair, or do you think because it was an accident that he should walk?
I think, to the best of my knowledge, I'm no expert on what state was this in?
Texas.
I know almost nothing about Texas state law, but judging by the laws in my state, I think that would be either involuntary manslaughter or negligent manslaughter. So but yes, I think he should be charged.
And I agree. Accident or no accident, a man lost his life due to the carelessness of an officer.
Yeah, either negligent manslaughter or just involuntary manslaughter.
Now, one thing that all of these things have in common is that they're recorded, that they are on film, they're on tape. Like Jesse said, you know, we live in a digital age where everyone's got an HD camera in their pocket. And like Jesse said, this didn't start with Mike Brown. This didn't start when Mike Brown was shot. It didn't start when Trayvon Martin was shot. I mean, this goes back as far as possible, but the first case I remember was Rodney King, when the four police officers in LA grabbed Rodney King and beat him. And that was on tape. That exposed a part of that area that I think a lot of people didn't realize, you know, didn't know about. But now it's becoming very popular for everybody to record everything. One of my fears that I have, and I want to see if you have the same fear, if maybe I'm off base on this, is with everyone grabbing phones and recording everything, do you think we're setting ourselves up for a dangerous protocol when it comes to filming the actions of police officers? Do you think more people will be hurt trying to catch officers in the act than the officers are hurting other people?
I think that having an intrusive, uninvolved person running up with their cell phone hoping to catch a police officer in some kind of wrongdoing can be dangerous. It can be a distraction. That's one more person that you have to watch. That's one more person that the officer has to watch out for, that has to protect, that has to make sure they're not a threat. I think that any kind of, you know, hey, a cop is over there doing something completely unrelated to me, let me run up and record him just in case he does something wrong.
Right.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
Now, Mr. Blue, just a quick question on that, just to kind of add into that. Assuming like a situation like that was happening where you are doing your job,
mm-hmm.
Force is necessary in this particular situation. do you think that having someone filming you would impede you doing your job for fear that it will be spun negatively and you will face repercussions?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, because during both of the police academies I attended, we had to watch a video, a dash cam video, of a traffic stop, I believe, in Texas, I think. This man was going about 93 miles an hour down a rural highway and initiated a pursuit by the officer. The officer stopped him, and this guy was acting very aggressively, very, very erratically from the get-go. He stepped into the middle of the highway and started doing jumping jacks and pardon my language, Shannon, but he was just shouting at the officer, shoot my fucking ass, shoot my fucking ass, do it. Do it now.
You can say anything you want on this show, don't worry.
Okay.
Worst things have been said,
yeah.
Okay. He was saying, you know, shoot my fucking ass, do it right now. And the officer just said, sir, I just need you to calm down. Calm down, put your hands against the truck. Like, I'm taking you into custody right now. Because you're doing like 40 or something miles over the speed limit. You know, he was acting extremely dangerously. And the man acted even more aggressively, charging the officer, attacking him, to which point he struck him a couple of times with his baton. That didn't slow him down. And he went back into his truck. He reached into the back seat of his truck, at which point the officer, get your hands out of the truck. Get your hands out of the truck where I can see them right now. Stop what you're doing right now. Get your hands out of the truck. The guy came out of his truck with a rifle. The officer drew his weapon and said, put the rifle down. Put the rifle down. Put the rifle down right now. Right now. The man turned and opened fire. And after a brief gunfight, the officer was disabled, and the man walked up to him and put a bullet right in his eye, executed him. Now, this officer involved in the tape had just come out of a lengthy court battle because someone accused him of using excessive force on an arrest. And he was afraid that if he shot this man, that he would get in trouble.
And he ended up dying because of that.
He ended up dying just because of that.
Yeah.
Even the man standing there with a rifle in his hand, it created that doubt in the mind of the officer that said, I can't shoot this guy or I'm going to be the bad guy.
Right.
I can't do it or I'm going to be the bad guy. And he lost his life because of it. So I think that if someone were recording me in the use of my job and in a justified use of force, it would impede me and it would put me at greater risk, because in the back of my mind there will always be that little voice that says, this person's going to put this on the internet and I'm just going to be a villain from the get-go, no matter how justified I am.
And what makes that worse with a lot of these people that are recording this stuff, I mentioned this to you guys earlier, that it went from, and I honestly believe that people that filmed these things before thought they were making a difference and they wanted to get, you know, they believed in Black Lives Matter. They believe that they wanted to help out. But the gentleman that, like I said, I mentioned this to you guys before, but I want to tell the listeners, the gentleman that recorded the Walter Scott shooting, and I'm going to mess his name up, Faden Santana, something like that. He recently signed with an Australian PR firm called Marks and Sparks, and they're now demanding $10,000 every time they show the video of that. So that's another fear that I have, is that these people who once thought they could do good in life by exposing what is an injustice, you know, whenever someone is murdered by a police officer, by each other, it's injustice. Mm-hmm. But they're now turning it into a profit.
Yeah, and there are...
And that's going to encourage more people to do the same thing.
And the only use of a video camera that comes to mind that would be justified by some unrelated bystander during a police interaction would be simply to document the incident, just for accuracy, just for documentation. In the defense of the subject, if he was a victim of something, and in defense of the officer.
Right.
If he was accused of doing something bad and didn't.
Well, I mean, they have...
To protect both the officer and the subject. And I've seen a lot less of those types of recordings. I've seen a lot less of that motivation for recording a police interaction than I've seen recordings to catch the cop doing something bad, because obviously he's going to do something bad, or to make a profit off of this,
right?
Or to stick this on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's just, in my experience, people who record the police don't do so for the sake of accuracy and for accurate documentation. They do it so that they can either make money off of it, get famous off of it, or catch those evil jackbooted thugs,
right,
bullying another innocent civilian.
Well, do you feel, as I feel, and I think they're starting to make it more of a requirement, that all police officers should wear body cams?
Mm-hmm.
That they should have something to, like you said, protect the victim and to protect themselves. Because in a lot of cases, like the Mike Brown case, having a body cam would have ended the trial very quickly.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been a trial.
Yeah.
You know? That's talking about people going after the cops and those evil thugs. Part of the reason you were on the show tonight and that we're calling you Mr. Blue is there is a fear you have, mm-hmm, of being known as a cop in public and around, you know, people, because I think you have a fear of what people might do to police officers now that it's become pop culture to hate them and to not quite hunt them yet, but
oh no,
we ever get to a point where that is commonplace?
They,
you know,
have been hunted.
Did
you not hear?
I have not heard.
In the period of time following the Ferguson shooting, the Mike Brown shooting, in the St. Louis area, several police officers were ambushed and executed.
I actually think I did hear about something like that in New York as well, I think.
Yeah, in New York as well. And admittedly, by the perpetrators, as revenge for the quote-unquote unjustified shooting of Mike Brown.
Right.
That is why they did it.
Well, yeah, it was definitely in New York, because I remember... Mayor Blasio, when they had the funeral, the police officers turned their back on him.
Yeah.
Because they said that he wouldn't stand up for police officers and, you know, was kind of condemning them in the public eye.
Yeah, because it would lose him votes.
Right.
Right.
Because, like I said, it's popular right now to hate the police.
Now, it's going to be popular to hate the police until the news finds something else to latch onto.
Which they will. And that's the sad part.
They will.
Yeah.
This whole trend of hating the police is going to die down considerably, I'd say, within the next year and a half.
Well, we got presidential elections coming up. That will dominate the headlines for a year.
When the news finds the next hot-button topic to...
Exploit.
To exploit and to scratch up examples of...
Right.
It'll go away.
Well, I will leave
and
you...
I do have that anxiety that any... misplaced word, any bad phrasing, or any pause in my speaking that takes too long will be heard by somebody.
Misinterpreted and spun?
Will be heard by somebody, and not even misinterpreted. They'll understand exactly what I mean, but they'll spin it purposefully into something bad about police officers, because there are people that need to hate the police due to some kind of psychological or emotional problem that they have.
Right.
I have lost friends because I was a policeman. A person who I considered a friend, who I admired to a degree, called me corrupt and said that I only wanted to be a police officer because I wanted to bully people, that I wanted to push people around because I had no self-respect, and that I wanted to force people to respect me or else I would make them pay if they didn't. And that hurt.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. And... that got to me for quite a while. I thought to myself, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe I am, excuse my French again, maybe I am that big of a shitbag. And I just wanted to admit it to myself. It took me too long to admit to myself that they were just plain wrong.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best decisions I ever made to get as far away from that person as possible.
Well, you can't... you definitely can't win everybody over. And there's always going to be those people that will condemn the police, whether it be because it's pop culture or through personal experiences with a bad seed or what have you. I do want to leave you with one question before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
You mentioned this earlier before the show when we were talking about police officers and how much they make versus how much we pay other people. You know, I mean, if you ever think about how little we pay the people that protect us and sculpt the youth and all of the other things that we need to survive versus what we pay someone to start a movie
hamburgers.
Or yeah, sells hamburgers even at McDonald's, you know, if they raise that minimum wage up to $15. So to you, sir, a police officer, I ask you, why would anyone want to become a cop right now in an age where it is underpaid, thankless, and downright hated? Why did you do it, and why would anyone want to put themselves in that position?
I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that as cheesy and romantic a statement it is, I became a cop because I want to be a hero. I want to save people. I want to catch the bad guys. I want to lay down my life for other people. And if I may just make a brief statement.
Yes, please.
To the listeners.
Go ahead.
If you're hearing this right now, I want to tell you personally, I don't care if you hate the police, if you love the police. If you hate me personally, I don't care. If your home gets broken into, if you're assaulted, if you're in danger, I would personally die for you.
That's a good statement. And I think that's very reflective of what the police should be. And it, maybe if there were more stories and articles about the good that they do versus the bad that some do, then we wouldn't be having this discussion right now.
There never will be.
There never will be, and that's a sad fact.
It's not good news, unless I have seen, on a brighter note, I have seen articles in the past, you know, cops doing particularly heroic things.
Yeah.
That does fortunately get reported on in the local news. The downside is it'll never get the same national coverage.
Yeah, what you see from Allison Twaits, I think is her name, you'll never see on CNN.
No.
Because it doesn't pop a big enough rating.
Right.
And I swear to you, everyone that's listening, eventually we'll have a show where we can just talk about the media and how terrible they are. Because I have a lot of venom that I'd like to spew towards them. But until that time, Jesse Kimble, thank you again for appearing here. I think at this point you've now starred on more Podzilla shows than you have Penta Nerd. So
that is pretty true.
So we'll just go ahead and adopt you on here, and we'll get rid of Zach. It's not a big loss. Stephen, I want to thank you for standing behind us and not talking very loud. Sorry, Stephen. And Mr. Blue, thank you so much for coming here and sharing your expertise, experience, and stories with us.
Anytime.
And Mr. Blue, I appreciate your work that you do for your community. I do wish that there were more cops like you. Great guy. The hero complex is a good thing for a police officer to have, and we thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome anytime.
Absolutely true, yeah. Whereas once everyone wanted to be a cop because they wanted to save the day, I think that's been lost in tons and tons of videos and words and letters of lies and deceit and just general, pardon my French, bullshit.
Right.
Bullshit. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you listening, as always. Downer note, we will not be having a Tanner Thursday this week, so I don't know if we're going to do a different show or if we're going to just give me an extra day off. But we will be back on Saturday with the All-Star panel talking about the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Goddamn, that seems so unimportant after talking about this. Hey guys, wrestling. But we'll see you then. Hunter will be there. Zach will be there. We'll see who else we can get there. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you then. Gentlemen, take a bow.
Be safe.
We're bowing.
Good night, guys.
Good night.